Welcome to a Veterans Podcast, powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network, the show where we hear unique, inspiring stories from veterans all over. Veterans who've transitioned, who've overcome obstacles, and even those still struggling. We will learn all veterans have a unique story, ones filled with pain and triumphs, and we will learn no veteran is alone, no matter the path they took. We share their stories to help motivate and inspire the world, to help understand what it means to be a veteran, and most of all, we share to give them a voice amongst the noise. You can find us at aveteranspodcast.com to learn more and how you can be a part of the show. Welcome back, everybody, to a Veterans Podcast. Welcome to 2021. This is, I think, the second podcast of the new year, but the first one recorded in the new year, so that's kind of exciting. I'm really looking forward to today's podcast. We have Chief Petty Officer Luke Pierce. He served 20 years in the Navy from 97 to 2017. I was stationed with him at Great Lakes. He was an RDC. I was an instructor, but he's just like an all-around good dude. So I'm really excited to have him on the show and talk to him. He's really big on LinkedIn, and he does a lot of communicating and stuff, which I find fascinating because I still haven't figured out LinkedIn. That's like the one social media that I just can't get it together on. I'm actually picking up TikTok. That's shocking, I know. Don't judge me. Speaking of TikTok, a Veterans Podcast has TikTok, so make sure you check us out on there as well as Instagram and Facebook. We are a Veterans Podcast. So make sure you check us out, add us, share us with your friends, tell the world about us, because I think what we're doing here is so important. But this would not be possible without Wisconsin Veterans Network. We are powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network, an established nonprofit ran by veterans for veterans. Their mission is to provide guidance and support for all veterans, whether Guard, Reserve, active, or even a bad discharge, who are looking for any kind of assistance in the state of Wisconsin. If you are a Wisconsin veteran and you are looking for answers, whether a simple question about benefits or are currently homeless, give them a call today. You can find more information about them at wisvetsnet.org or at our webpage, aveteranspodcast.com. There's also previous episodes, so make sure you check them out because they're good. You know, everything we do here is good. All right, let's get Luke on the phone. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's the new year, right? New year, new me. So.
Yes.
Something like that. How are things in Texas, right? That's where you are?
I am. It's a little weird. The first couple of, we've only been here for 3 years now. And the first couple of years during this time, it got cold, but it's leveled out now. So it's like 60 degrees.
Oh.
And so I'm trying to adjust to it not being cold again.
I'm so jealous. It's like 20 degrees here. It's so cold.
We toyed with the idea of going back to Illinois. And every time we think about it, we remember that bitter cold. And no, we're good.
Yeah. Believe me, if California wasn't such an expensive place to live and I could take all my family with me, that's where we would be.
That's where I originally retired at. And because of the cost of living, we just couldn't swing it. But we think finally of being there.
Yeah, it's California is a magical place for sure. So let's jump into this. I kind of briefly told the listeners that you were in the Navy from 97 to 2017. So if you could just share with us why you chose to join the military and why you chose, obviously, the best branch of the Navy.
That's right. Well, I was going to college, and I thought I was doing all the right things. You know, I was working two jobs, paying for my own car, my own insurance and stuff. But it was, I say that I was going to college, but I was enrolled. I wasn't really going to college.
You were enjoying the extracurriculars of college.
Right. And one day, just kind of out of the blue, my grandfather came up to me and he's like, "You're a burden on your mother. You need to leave." Ooh. And, you know, at first it was a little bit of a shock to me, but years down the road, I realized it was one of the best things that he had ever done to me, because I thought I was doing all the right things, but I had no direction in life. Wasn't doing anything. So right about the time he did that, I found a Marine Corps brochure, and I actually went and talked to the Marine Corps recruiter first.
Ooh,
and
that's scary.
To be perfectly honest, he scared the crap out of me. I was a 19-year-old kid, and he's telling me, "I'll have you out on the battlefield killing people by tomorrow."
Ooh.
And I, whoa, slow down, hold on. So I went next door in the Navy office. Everybody had their feet up drinking coffee, and I said, "Oh, I could get down with this." And here I am.
That's awesome. My brother was a Marine, and those recruiters are like super intimidating. They can be.
I've met some really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I recruited for a time, and when I was recruiting, we actually had a really good working relationship with all the branches. Well, except maybe for the Air Force. They don't like to talk to anybody.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
But there's some really good ones out there.
That's awesome. So, okay, so you joined in 97, which was like essentially a time of peace. And there wasn't a whole lot going on in the world. And then September 11th happened. And I always like to ask people who were in, where were you when September 11th happened, and how did that impact your career?
We were Pierside, Virginia, in Norfolk. I was on board the Theodore Roosevelt, and we were actually in the process of workups. We were getting ready to go on deploy. I think we were supposed to deploy within the next 6 months or so. Can't remember the exact time frame, but I was actually out. I was an HT. For those who aren't in the Navy, I was a welder. And we were out checking a job, me and my first class, and the job was down in somebody else's berthing. So as we were coming through, there was a bunch of guys sitting around watching television, and that was when the first plane hit. And I remember looking at the television thinking, oh, I haven't seen this movie before. I'll have to try to find out what movie it is that they're watching and check it out, because this looks interesting. Mm-hmm. And when we got down to my shop, all of my guys were sitting around watching the television. And of course, my first reaction was yelling at them, "Hey, why are we sitting around during the middle of the day? We got work to do." Mm-hmm. And that's when they were all, no, come here, you have to watch this. And shortly thereafter, the second plane hit. And, you know, everything changed. We went on lockdown. We couldn't go home. I don't think we went home for 48 hours. And when we finally did go home, they told us to pack our bags and report back in 12 hours, and we left. We left for deployment early.
Wow.
Yeah. And when we came back, you know, the bases looked completely different. You couldn't just, my first, 3 years in the Navy, there was no gate guards. you just drove right on base.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And when we came back, they had perimeter fences all done and there was gate guards, everything.
That's wild. I guess I never thought about that part of it, like how it really was probably pretty loose restrictions, loose security, whatever, and then to come back to something completely different. That's probably
completely
crazy.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, the perimeter fences at Norfolk weren't even up. Or if they were up, they were hit or miss. It wasn't anything that was solid.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Man, such a different time. And it wasn't even that long ago. Like, when you think about it, you're like, oh, that's like 19 years ago. But then you're like, oh, man, that was 19 years ago.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And it was crazy because I'd already done one deployment with the ship before that had happened. And when we went on that deployment, you know, we were stopping off the ports left and right. And then in 2001, obviously, we didn't stop anywhere. We actually did 159 days straight at sea.
Ooh.
We held the record. I think, until last year. I forget which carrier it was that broke our record. And, but we were all good with it. You know, there wasn't the normal, or at least it felt at the time, there wasn't the normal stir craziness. We all had a mission. We were all out there. We knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, that 159 days just flew by.
Oh, I'm sure. Especially with like that new fire and motivation of like, we're going to get these guys or whatever. So that's awesome. So you did 20 years, and so was it your choice to retire at that 20 years, or were you just like, I'm done with this, or like, why did you get out of the military?
To be honest, it was my kids.
Okay.
My wife and I have four children, and of those four, only one of them was I there, for the birth and around for any significant time after the birth. I didn't meet our first daughter until she was 7 months old. My second daughter, I met her, but then 2 weeks later went on deployment.
Oh my goodness.
Our oldest boy, he was the one that I was there for, because that was in Great Lakes. That's when we had him. And then my youngest son, we had him, and literally four days later, I went on deployment.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that was the one that did me in, because, our youngest daughter, she was at that age where it meant a little bit more to her that I was leaving.
Yeah.
And when the family dropped me off at the ship, she lost it. She broke down crying. And while, you know, when we were on deployment, I wrote my wife and I said, you know, I think we need to start looking at retirement, because I don't know how much more longer I can do this for. She was the one who got me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
She broke me.
I remember, like, I was single most of my Navy career. So I remember going on deployment and being like sad for everybody else because they had to leave their families. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so heartbreaking. How could people do that? I can't even imagine. Like 4 days after your baby was born. Oh my goodness gracious. No, thank you.
That one was tough. And not only for me, for my wife as well, because now she's at home. She's got four kids.
Oh, I'm sure she wanted to kill you.
And two of them are... Yeah. No, I'm sure she did. But I think at that time she was homeschooling our two oldest. So it was just, you know,
she's a warrior.
She's an amazing woman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. So how far out were you from retirement when you decided like, I'm good, we're done, it's time to start closing this chapter?
I think it was a year and a half.
Okay.
About a year and a half. And to be perfectly honest, it was more of a knee jerk reaction than a planned approach to it. It was one of those. As a matter of fact, my wife, she kind of fought me a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. She wanted to at least do one more enlistment just to make sure that, you know, we had all our bases covered, pay off some bills, make sure that it's really what we wanted to do, and be more prepared. But it was one of those things where I was just kind of, I'm ready, I'm done.
That's fair. Did you do anything to prepare then, like as you were getting out, or were you just like, I'm good, I'll be retired, all is well?
It was a little bit of both, to be honest. I mean, I went through TGPS, TAPS, two times.
Did you find TAPS to be a wealth of knowledge for you? I'm just curious because I ask everybody that question and I've gotten a lot of very different answers.
Yes and no. There's so much information there that you almost have to go through two times, mm-hmm. if not three times, four times, because there's just so much that they throw at you. And even now, I had a buddy of mine who just recently retired in the past 6 months, and he'll call me up and he'll be like, hey, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I'll go, oh yeah, I totally forgot I could do that. So, you know, even now, 3 years later, I'll go back and I'll try to do things. And it was things that they had taught us at TGPS, but I just didn't catch it, or there was so much other stuff that I was trying to filter through that it got missed.
Yeah.
So it's a yes and no. It's a yes and no.
Makes sense. So what would you say were some of the biggest mistakes that you made during your transition, or like immediately following your transition? So in that time period.
I think it would have to be, being reliant on the military service to find something afterwards, to find, employment afterwards, because there's so many times that, you know, we think that everything that we did in the military, and we're told that all the stuff, all the certifications and everything that you do while you're in the military is going to set you up for whenever you finally get out, that you'll just be able to walk in and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case. I hadn't finished my bachelor's degree. I had had my associates, but I hadn't completed my bachelor's while I was on active duty. And that was something that I needed to do. I've since then have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that you could do, like certifications or even simple networking, you know, talking to people who are already out and finding out where the hot jobs are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're planning on going into IT, finding what area of IT that you're going to go into, because it's so broad.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go into human resources, because a lot of people, especially when you get into the middle management or upper management, chiefs and above, they'll go and get their degree in HR because it's a good fit. You've done management, so you get a degree in HR, which will suit you to be able to get a job once you get out.
Mm-hmm.
But even inside of HR, there's a lot of little small niche areas that you could focus on. And you don't really realize that until you go in for an interview and they start asking you questions. You're like, oh man, I'm not prepared.
You're like, wait a second.
Yeah. I was supposed to walk in here and you guys are saying, you're hired. Okay, let's go.
Right. I think that's the thought process that a majority, I won't say everybody, but a majority of people getting out of the military think, I'm just going to walk into this office, tell them I served and they're going to be like, oh, yep, you're hired. But that is not the case.
Right. Right. And it was actually kind of painful for me to learn that there's a stigma out there of employee or employers to hire military because of PTSD and, you know, just different bad publicity that we have through the services, that they can actually be concerned of hiring somebody who was prior military, mm-hmm, just because that's all they know. That's all they've heard. Mm-hmm. And PTSD does exist and it can be a problem, but for the vast majority, you know, it's not something that's going to cause them not to be employed, but yeah, employers, that's what they know. That's what they've seen. That's what they've heard.
Well, yeah. And I think Hollywood does a really awful job of showing what it is, yeah, when it's really not that. So
yeah,
that could be a whole nother show for a whole nother day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some positives that you think you did during or like before your transition or after your transition that you think helped you greatly?
One of the biggest things, and I guess it goes, this is kind of networking, but I did talk to a lot of people who are already out, and just asked for advice, you know, hey, what helped you out? What are you going to do? And, TGPS, believe it or not, it did help. There were things that were missed. Now, having gone through the two times that I did, TGPS relies a lot on who it is that's doing the presenting. Because mm-hmm, the first time that I went, it was good. The second time that I went, the presenter was not so good.
Oh, no.
And it does help you out and it opens your eyes that there's a lot of things that you need to be prepared for. So I think going the two times that I went, I almost wish that I had gone more. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough time to be able to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I will say I've noticed, and I talked about this before I called you on the show, but you are like a LinkedIn guru, I swear. I see you on LinkedIn all the time, like, because you'll comment on things and it comes up on my feed, I guess is what you would call it. And I see you doing a lot of networking on LinkedIn. Was that something that you did on your own or is that something you learned from TAPS or, kind of like, how did you find yourself involved on there? If that's the right word.
Well, first off, thank you. 'Cause I there's so many times that I struggle with LinkedIn that I think I'm like, I'm doing this all wrong. I don't know what I'm doing right now. But during TGPS, they did stress to us that a lot of things are done through LinkedIn now. Mm-hmm. And I had dabbled my feet a little bit. But early 2021, I was looking to shift into a completely different career field. So that's when I got into really trying to learn and do things through LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I took the advice of a couple people on there and just dove in. You know, I just would just start talking to people and not really looking for anything particular out of them. I was just making connections, talking and saying, hey, what's your advice on this? And it could have been as simple as baking a casserole, but it was just a connection so that later on they might, hey, you know, I know this guy who was interested in this, and it goes from there.
Yeah, I think honestly, one of the moments that stood out, and I feel like I sound like a creepy LinkedIn stalker, but that's not the case, I promise. but somebody, a veteran, had posted that they were really looking for employment and they were really struggling. And if anybody had any leads, to like let him know. And you commented and you were like, I don't have any leads, but hopefully my commenting will get you connected with somebody else. And I was like, that is so thoughtful to like comment that, because it popped up on my feed and who else's feed, you know, we don't know. But I was like, man, this guy knows how to do LinkedIn.
That's actually one of the coolest things that I have found about LinkedIn, is the fact that the positivity that goes, it's not, I mean, it can be like other social media platforms, but for me, it has been very unlike any other social media platform, because there is a lot of positive, there's a lot of people who are there just trying to help other people out, like legitimately just trying to help people out.
Yeah,
and
I
there
would
were
agree.
People on there that I've talked to who were just looking to help me out. So I just wanted to return the favor.
Yeah, it was really something that like caught my eye, and I was like, so like for me, it was one of those things where I'm like, well, this is what LinkedIn's about. It's like really getting these people to network. And I've learned a lot from different veterans that have posted on there specifically about their transition out, and saying like, just because you served 10 years, 20 years, 4 years, doesn't mean you're going to get this upper management position as soon as you get out of the military. So like,
right.
It's a good reminder to stay out of that mindset, because I think entitled is a strong word, but I feel like we kind of feel entitled when we get out. Like we deserve an important position. And so I think your activity on LinkedIn has taught me that a lot of things about transition out. So that's pretty cool. So thanks for that.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, win. That's a win right there.
Yeah, for sure. See, look at you still being a chief when you got out. So what is some of the best advice that you could give to other veterans who are out, or those who are preparing to transition out? What are some good pieces of advice?
The big one is, like we already said, you know, try to prepare yourself, be prepared, that it's going to be unlike anything that you, especially the longer that you've been in, it's not the same. it's completely, I make a joke with, you know, people who I stay in touch with, especially the ones who are still in active duty, who are maybe thinking about retiring or getting out. And, they ask me for my advice. I always tell them, I say, you have to be really careful. There's civilians everywhere out here. there's a little bit of truth to it, because we don't think the same way they do. And they don't understand some of the things that we've been through to even empathize with us. Mm-hmm. So that it can be difficult. I mean, just as simple as moving into a new neighborhood. We moved into a completely civilian neighborhood, and we made friends with a couple of our neighbors. However, when they're looking for a babysitter and we say, hey, you know, we'll watch the kids, you guys go do whatever you need to do, that's something that we don't even think about inside the military.
Yeah, of course.
When, especially if you live in base housing, everybody's looking out for each other. And here, when we say we're going to watch our kids, they're like, why? Wait, no, you're not going to watch my kids.
That's hilarious. You have to explain
to them that's where we come from. That's what we do.
I experienced that same thing moving into my neighborhood when I moved in with my fiance. I was like, oh, if you ever need to just drop the kids off and go to the grocery store, like, no problem. We're usually here. And they were like, that's weird, but okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They look at you like you have three heads. No.
You're like, look, I'm just hoping you'll return the favor, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. The other bit of advice I would have is, especially if you've been in for any length of time, and especially now with the tempo that all of the military is having, you know, the longer deployments, the constant deployments, be prepared that when you get out, And you, if you have a significant other, it's going to be like coming home from deployment, you know, except now it's more permanent. Now they,
you're not getting really back underway.
Yes. Now they're really going to put up with you. And that's not, I don't want to say a struggle, but it has been something that we've had to come to terms with. And in some ways we're still kind of working through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when, you know, they've been there with all four kids, homeschooling them, taking care of all the bills, and now you're here forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some adjustment, you know, so be prepared for that. Be prepared for that post deployment with no deployment on the future.
I think that's an awesome point. I think you're the first person to bring that up, honestly. And I think that's very true from stories I've heard from other people who did 20 years or 15 years and they come home and they're like, okay, now I guess I get to be married. And yeah, this is new, you know, because you're gone all the time and your spouse is holding down the fort and they have their own routines with the kids. And now you're coming in and messing it all up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
That's really good advice. Are there any resources that you found that were especially helpful besides TAPS and that that you are using now or while you were getting out that you want people to know about?
I think the biggest one is LinkedIn. It really, especially if you find yourself without employment, you know, if you're in between, the amount of people that will try to help you out, and even if they don't try to help you out, the amount of people who are on there saying, listen, it gets better, mm-hmm, you know, just keep going, keep pushing is awesome. Because when I was looking for a career shift last year, I quit my job with no other job lined up. And as it got closer and closer to the time that I was going to be unemployed, I felt myself becoming more and more frantic. So I could only imagine if I didn't have employment and thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I would a lot of times turn to people who were there on LinkedIn, and it was awesome to see and hear, listen, I know it's tough, but just keep going at it. It's gonna get better. It's gonna be okay. And that helped a lot.
That's awesome. I think that's really good advice. And the hashtag game on LinkedIn is really good. Like you click on a hashtag, yeah, and you are in a whole nother world of LinkedIn, I feel like. So
I agree.
that can take you down some really big rabbit holes.
That's right.
Okay, so being that you were an RDC, or for those that are listening that don't know what that is, like a drill sergeant, drill commander in boot camp, and you had the ability to mentor a lot of people coming into the military, what are some pieces of advice that you would give somebody who is maybe in their first tour and they're not sure if, like, this is it for them? Or if they should get out, or, I mean, they joined during a time of COVID and now they're deploying,
yeah,
and they probably haven't been home yet or whatever. What kind of advice would you give them? This is kind of your chance to share that with them.
That's a good question. Well, you know, first and foremost, trust your chief. I mean, that's always good.
I feel like that's a little biased statement, though. But
Yeah. I think it would be, I think it would be to be discerning, or try to be as discerning as you can with who it is that you take advice from, and who it is that you find yourself turning to for that advice? You know, I think you probably remember the what was that video that we had in the first 48 hours?
The first 72 hours?
That's it. That's the one. Yes. The one where the new guy checks in on board and he hangs out with all the bad people and he makes bad decisions.
Yeah.
But there's truth to that, you know, especially now where I couldn't even imagine what everybody's having to go through with COVID, the restrictions, you know, having, if you're PCSing, you have to, as soon as you get to wherever you are, you have to quarantine for two, like legitimately quarantine, not what we're doing out here. And the, you know, the TR, they had my old ship, they had a huge breakout of COVID when it first hit the state. You know, just the uncertainty, everything that's going on, be discerning of who it is that you're listening to. And, you know, try to get as many different opinions as you can, as far as where you should go, if you should stay in. And the big thing is, if you're not having fun, if you don't enjoy it, you know, maybe try to find something else. You know, don't do it just because it's secure and it's a good paycheck, because later on down the road, if you're at 4 years now and then at 10 years, you're going to be like, I hate life.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe at 4 years, it's your time to go. You can go find something else. It's, that doesn't make you any less than somebody who does 36 years in the Navy. It just wasn't your fit. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to find what makes you happy and what's going to make you successful. And successful doesn't always mean that you're making money. Successful can be as simple as you're happy and as what it is that you do.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. I really do. I think we've had some people on the show who've done 4 years, and then we've had people who've done 20. And I think sometimes people are leery to come on the show because they've served 4 years and they feel like they don't have a whole lot of ground to stand on and what they can share. But 4 years still matters. You still served your country. You still did some cool things, or maybe some not so cool things, but you still did it. And so I think it's valuable to say that not everybody needs to do 20 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And guaranteed, you did 4 years. You did, saw some things, and you came out the other end changed.
Definitely.
You're not the same person as the one who went in. Guaranteed.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you so much for your chiefly wisdom.
thank you for having me on.
And good luck this year. It's a new year, so hopefully it's better for everybody. And
hey, it's going to be a good one. Got to be, right?
For sure.
It's got to be.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Well, that was awesome. So grateful that Luke came on the show and really benefit from the information he shared about LinkedIn. So if you don't have a LinkedIn profile and you are starting to look for employment, that's a huge resource. So take some time to maybe set that up and just kind of jump in. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find producer Noah on LinkedIn. We're all there. So reach out and, you know, thanks for listening. To learn more about us, to hear previous episodes, or if interested in being on the show, you can find us at aveteranspodcast.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Wisconsin Veterans Network, a Wisconsin nonprofit operated by veterans and serving veterans in need. Till next time.